So what I want us to do this evening is to concentrate on just one text, one verse from that particular chapter, and it's the 11th verse of the first letter to Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse 11. There the Apostle Paul then, writing to the Corinthians, says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now you'll notice that the verse begins with the word for, F-O-R. And whenever you see a word like that, therefore or for, you've got to say, well, why is it there? And the reason it's there is because it follows on from what has gone before. Sadly, the church in Corinth at this particular time was a rather divided church. There was a lot of jealousy, a lot of argument in the church. And this was because they were rather worldly. They were rather immature in their attitudes. And so that had led to jealousy and to quarrelling in that particular church. The church hadn't been going for very long, but in that time they'd had different ministers. Paul and Apollos in particular are mentioned here. And rather foolishly, these people were debating, now which do you like best? Who's the better preacher? Is Paul the better preacher? Or is Apollos the better preacher? And some were saying, oh, Paul, he's the man for me. And other people say, oh no, Apollos, he's much cleverer than Paul. You know, he's got a lot more to be said for him than Paul. And Paul has to say to them, are you not acting like mere men? You're just acting like ordinary human beings. For one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos. Are you not mere men? And that leads him to say then, in verse 5, what after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, just as the Lord has assigned to each his task. And then he talks about the fact that there were differences between him and Apollos. They'd played different parts in the history of the church. And he speaks about this then using certain pictures, and we'll say something about this in a moment. But for now, I simply want you to notice the important conclusion that Paul gives at the end of the chapter. If you look down the verses, if you have the page before you, if you look at verse 21, you see how he sums it all up then. He says, so then, no more boasting about men. What you need to realize, he says, is that all things are yours, whether it's Paul or Apollos or Peter, or for that matter, the world or life or death or the present or the future. It's all yours, he says. And you are of Christ and Christ is of God. You see what he's saying? He's saying everything is working together then for your good if you're Christians. And so you don't have to decide, you know, this is my preacher, but not this one. They're all your preachers. They're all servants. That's what they're there for. That's why God has sent them. So that's a little bit about the background and the context. And what I want us to do then is to focus on the text itself. And I want us to ask three questions of that text. So first of all, what is the picture that Paul uses here to express himself? And do you understand that picture? You see, Paul in this particular verse talks about a foundation already having been laid. And obviously that's a picture that he's using. And I think just to make that picture clear, we can look at the two verses that come before us, in verse 9 and 10. You see, Paul says about himself and Apollos, you shouldn't have favorites between me and Apollos and the others. We are God's fellow workers. We're working together with God. You are God's field. And then he changes it. He says, you are God's building. He says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. And someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. So Paul's saying, look, take this church in Corinth. You can think about it. And he does use the two pictures, doesn't he? First of all, he says you can think about it as being like a field. Alternatively, you can think of it as being like a building. Previously he'd been talking about it as a field. You look at verse 6. He says, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. Paul was the one who'd planted the church in Corinth. He put the seed in the field, if you like. You can read about it in Acts chapter 18. When Paul first came to Corinth, there was no church there. There were no Christians in Corinth. Well, there were. There happened to be two had come from outside, Priscilla and Aquila, but they were the only ones. There was no church in Corinth. And so what did Paul do? Well, he preached there, didn't he? He preached, first of all, in the synagogue, and then when they threw him out of the synagogue, he went next door, and he preached from that house. And altogether, he was there, I think, for about 18 months, and he knew a great deal of opposition. It was not easy work, it was very difficult. But Paul planted a church there in Corinth. He began a church there. He planted the seed there that became the church in Corinth. And then he moved on. Now, after Paul left, somebody else came, a man called Apollos. Apollos was a Jew by birth. He was, we're told in Acts chapter 18, a learned man then. He was a well-educated man. He had a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. And he was a very fervent preacher. He came from Alexandria. Alexandria is in Egypt. And Alexandria was a real centre for learning. I suppose it's like if we said he was from Oxford or Cambridge or somewhere like that. It would have that sort of idea behind it. And so this man then, there were obvious gaps in his knowledge. Priscilla and Aquila met him in Ephesus, and they could see he needed further instruction, but he was very willing to listen and to be guided by Paul's friends. And so then he went from Ephesus to Corinth. And in Acts chapter 18, verse 27 and 28, it says that he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. So you can picture it in your mind, isn't it? Paul, he's the first on the scene. He's the one then who tells them about the fact that the Messiah's come and gives them their initial information. He plants the seed, if you like. And a church then is established there in Corinth. But then along comes Apollos, and he waters the seed, if you like. He does everything then that will encourage the seed to grow then, to build up those believers there in Corinth by refuting then the Jews, arguing against them, and encouraging the believers in their faith. So that's one way of picturing it, if you like, then. Paul plants the seed, Apollos waters. It's God, of course, who gives the growth. But then Paul switches, doesn't he, sort of midstream. He says, well, okay, a field, a building. Use that picture, a building. So we've just said that Paul planted the church in Corinth. We could equally say that he founded the church in Corinth through his preaching. I don't know quite how this has happened, but there was a time when if somebody started a church, you talk about the person founding the church. You talk about the founder of the church. I wasn't sure if I'd remembered correctly, but I just checked now. If you look at that plaque over there, it's to the beloved memory of William Rickard, founder of this congregation. They're quite happy to use the word founder to refer to him. I think if they were putting up a plaque like this in our day, they would say that it's to the beloved memory, or perhaps they wouldn't even put it like that, of William Rickard, planter, they'd probably say, of this church. He was the one who planted this church. I don't know quite why that change has come about, but Paul is happy to use either picture, isn't he? He says, as we've seen in verse 9, by the grace that God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. He's happy to say that, and he's happy then to talk about himself planting the church. Paul pictures himself as being like an architect, or like a master builder then. Somebody who's running a project to put up a building. And he says what he has done then is he's laid down the foundation that formed the church in Corinth. Apollos and others then, they've been building on that foundation. I'm sure you've seen building projects, sometimes, you know, you see they've started a building, you know, they put up all these boards, don't they, around the site, and then you see people going in and people going out, and there's lots of mud and so on, and I don't know, sometimes it seems like nothing's happening. You can't see any building rising up, nothing seems to be going on, although there's obviously a lot of work going on. And very often the reason for that is because they are laying the foundations. And it's not until the foundations are in place that they begin then to do the actual visible building. Not until they're sure. They use these great pile drivers, don't they? And they seem to pour immense amounts of concrete into the ground. It all looks as though you've got nothing for your money. You've got nothing then for all that hard work. But it's a matter of laying the foundation. And there's no point, of course, putting up a building if it's got no base, no foundation. Certainly not any building that's going to be permanent. And Jesus, of course, picks up on this, doesn't he, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He talks about the importance then of building on rock, not on sand. In fact, I think it's more interesting in what we call the Sermon on the Plain in Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus speaks about the wise man as being like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. He speaks about the foolish man as building, well, not just on sand, but with no foundations. That's the way it's put. But the wise man, the person who listens to what Jesus teaches, that person digs down deep. He lays the foundations on rock. So you can see how very important Paul's work was then. He was the one who started the work in Corinth. He gave it its ethos, its raison d'etre, its character. He made an impact there right at the very beginning. And that's why church planting, as we tend to call it today, or church founding, is very important work. How a work begins is very important. It's bound to have an effect then for years to come. If it's not done properly at the beginning, then there are bound to be repercussions in years to come. I think more generally, we can say that foundations are very important. How you begin. What is at the very bottom then, or at the very beginning, is very important indeed. I don't think it happens so often today, but from time to time, you will hear of a building that has been put up with no foundations or with shaky foundations. And then something has happened and the building has simply collapsed. I think when there was that last earthquake in China, some of the buildings were found out not to have proper foundations. And that was one reason why they came down so easily and so quickly. And so we have to address the question to ourselves, don't we? What about you? What about me? What's the foundation for your life then? What are your foundations? What are you building on? What's there at the bottom then? Because if you don't have a good foundation, well, when the storms of life come, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? We're going to be blown here, there, and everywhere if we don't have a good foundation. So that's the first thing then. What picture does Paul use here to express himself? Well, he's using this picture of a foundation. I trust that you understand what we're talking about. So then a second question. What does Paul say was the church's foundation? And the supplementary question there was, is it your foundation? Using this picture then of a building then with a foundation, Paul says in this text, he says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid." And what is it, he says? Which is Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Now you get this idea in different places in the scriptures. And it's usually slightly different. Back in the Old Testament, isn't it? We hear about Christ as the cornerstone. Then he's the one then who we are to build on. And it's taken up in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. There the Apostle Paul, again, he says, he talks about being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. So Christ then the cornerstone, the one on whom we are to build. So Jesus Christ then was the foundation of the church in Corinth. Paul was the expert builder. He was the architect, if you like. He was the one who laid the foundation. But the foundation itself was Jesus Christ. Now, what exactly does he mean when he says Jesus Christ was the foundation? Well, he's saying that when he began that church then, when he founded it or planted it, it was on the basis of his preaching Jesus Christ. And when the church was formed then, it was formed on the basis that these people were putting their trust in Jesus Christ. You know, everything that happened in that church in Corinth, that was the intention then, was that it should be formed on the basis that these people trusted in Jesus Christ, that it should be the proclamation of Jesus Christ and faith in him that was at the base of it all. And in particular, we can say that the foundation that was laid then was on his person and his work. That's often a good way of thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done. And so his person then, as you know, is such that he's God, and yet he's also man. He's the God-man, isn't he? He's the one mediator, the one go-between God and man. He's the one, you remember, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And from the beginning, Paul made that clear then, that there is only one way to God, there is only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ alone. He's the only one who can properly make God known to us. If you want to know God, it has to be through Jesus Christ. There's no other way to find God or to know God. And so the church wasn't begun then on the basis that it doesn't matter what you believe. Or on the basis then that all roads lead to God anyway. And as long as we're religious people, it will all be okay. That's not a foundation for a church. And rather then, that church was founded on Jesus Christ, on his person and his mediatorship, his sole ability to bring people to God. If it hadn't been founded on that basis, it wouldn't be a church of Christ at all. That's the only way a true church of Christ can be founded. So when we say it was founded, that the foundation was Jesus Christ, we're saying it was the person of Christ, and then also the work of Jesus Christ. As for his work, then the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, he lived, and he died. He lived a perfect life, and he died then on the cross, not because he was guilty of anything, he did nothing wrong, did he? But then in the place of sinners. Christ died then to make an atonement then, to reconcile sinners to God, to an angry God then, by dying in their place. And Paul preached then that Jesus was the Messiah and that he had died in the place of sinners so that they could be forgiven. So the church wasn't begun on the basis that people are naturally good and so, you know, let's all get together on that basis. It wasn't begun then on the basis that people don't need to be saved then. Or that certain people are better than others. It wasn't then, well look, now there's some of these people here in Corinth, they're not so bad, they're good people. Let's get them together and we'll form the church on this basis. It wasn't done on that basis. That's no foundation at all for a church of Christ. It's not possible to found a true church on that basis. In fact, it was quite the opposite. The foundation of the church was that none of us is good enough by nature, none of us is good enough for God. But the Lord Jesus Christ can save us if we trust in him. And that's the foundation of this church as well. When William Rickard wandered over from Hampstead to the village of Childs Hill all those years ago, he found that there was very little evidence of Christian life here. It was a pretty rough place. And so he set about preaching Jesus Christ. And it was that message then about Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ himself that became the foundation of the work here. And whenever a church is planted or founded, however you prefer to express it, that has to be the approach then. It has to be founded on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has to be at the center of it. He has to be the foundation for it. Founding, laying a foundation must be very hard work, mustn't it? I mean, even if you just put a shed up in the garden, you've got to have a concrete base for it. It's got to be some sort of foundation to put the shed on. That's hard enough work. And laying a foundation for a building, for a temple of God, it's hard work. Planting, church planting. We pray for our brothers in Soho and Covent Garden, involved in that work. For Robin, hoping to see Robin tomorrow, take your greetings to him. But that work of church planting, church founding, is not easy, is it? It takes long, hard work. But it's the only way to begin. It's the only way that a true church can be founded. So what does Paul say was the church's foundation? He says Christ, Jesus Christ. And of course the question is it your foundation? Is that what you're founding your life, your hopes, your future on? Is that what you're building your life on? It has to be that way. And so the third and final question then, what implication does Paul draw from the fact that Jesus Christ was the church's foundation? Do you see the implications here for yourself? So what implications does Paul draw from the fact Jesus Christ was the church's foundations? And do you see the implications then for yourselves? So the complete text again then, let me remind you, is for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. You see, Paul is saying that now the right foundation has been laid for the church, Jesus Christ. Well then, this is the starting point for everything else that follows on. And it cannot be altered. See, a building can only have one foundation, can't it? You can't lay a foundation and say, "Well, I think I'll stick another one on top of that." It doesn't work like that. That's not how it works. And once the foundation is laid, there is no need for another. And so, the foundation for every single individual, the foundation for every true church. Well, it's either Christ, the rock, or it's nothing, isn't it? You're either building on the rock, Jesus Christ, or you're just building on sand. There's no foundation at all. Now, you can come up with what are claimed to be foundations. You say, well, I'm building my life on this philosophy or that philosophy. I'm building my life on that religion or this religion. But they're not. That's just sand. That's no foundation at all. There is only one foundation. That's one of the reasons Paul puts it the way he does. He says, no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has already been laid, Jesus Christ. Paul had previously said in verse 10 that it was by the grace of God that was given to him, that he had laid a foundation as an expert builder so that somebody else could then build on it. Excuse me, the way that Paul saw it then was God's hand had been on the Corinthians, and for anyone to try and change them, well, he'd have to dig up the foundations, wouldn't he? That's the only way it could be done. If he wanted to lay new foundations or supposed foundations, he'd have to dig up the ones that were there and start again all over with no foundation at all. Now, of course, even with such an excellent foundation, it is possible for someone to build what is not good, isn't it? You can put down the best foundation in the world, but if you don't then build on it in the correct way, that building can just as easily fall, as good as the foundations may be. And that is why Paul has this quite elaborate development of the picture in verses 12 to 15. Perhaps we need to read those verses together. If you look at verse 12, you see how he says, if any man builds on this foundation then, so the church has been founded there in Corinth, it's founded on Jesus Christ. If he builds on that foundation then using gold, say, or silver, or costly stones, or wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is. Because the day, he's talking about the day of judgment, isn't he? The day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, and if he's built with gold or silver or costly stones, well, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, if he's built, as it were, with wood or hay or straw, well, he'll suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So you see what Paul's saying? People like Apollos and the others then who followed Paul, they would be building on the foundation that Paul had laid. They would be watering the seed that Jesus had, Paul had put into the ground, that was Jesus Christ. And if they built in an appropriate manner, well, then they could face the day of judgment with some confidence then. But if they tried to build in a way that went against what Paul then had begun, well, then they could expect punishment. Even if they themselves are Christians and they go to heaven, nevertheless, they must expect judgment on their poor preaching and their poor building work. And that's a reminder, I think that's a reminder, first of all, to believers of the need to grow in grace, isn't it? I mean, I ask you first, isn't it, has the foundation, Jesus Christ, been laid in your life? Have you come to faith in Jesus Christ? Are you trusting in him? That's always the basic question, isn't it? And I'm asking you that quite often. And I'm not asking because I don't know. I'm asking to prompt that question in your mind once again. Am I trusting in Jesus Christ? That's the number one question, isn't it? But I know that there are several of you now, you could say, well, yes, I am trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's some evidence, isn't there, that you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the question then is, are you building on that good foundation then? You know, a foundation is only a beginning, isn't it? A foundation is not a building. A foundation is not a temple. It's an excellent start. It's a vital start. You can't start anything without the foundation. You can't begin as a Christian without Jesus Christ. But then, that's the beginning. It would be a strange building that only had a foundation, wouldn't it? And so, for example, when Peter's writing in his second letter, he says to the believers there, he says, make every effort to add to your faith. Add to your faith goodness. And to goodness, then, knowledge. You need to get to know more about what the Bible says, more about the truths of the faith. Adds to knowledge, self-control. We need to work at self-control, isn't it? So easy to give in to temptation. And to self-control, perseverance. We give up too easily, don't we? Too easily we say, well, I can't pray, I can't read the Bible, I can't witness. There's so many things that we give up so easily at, but we mustn't. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For, says Peter, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, well, he is nearsighted and blind. He's forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Have you forgotten that you've been cleansed from your past sins? Don't forget that. But go on. Go on in grace. And here's a warning to preachers as well, isn't it? To preach only what will build on the foundation, Jesus Christ. But each one should be careful how he builds, Paul says. So for example, if I say to you now, you've believed in Jesus Christ. That's good, isn't it? But now if you really want to make progress in the Christian life, then you need certain things. You need to keep certain days special, or you need to wear certain clothing, or to eat certain food, something like that. Well, what would I be doing then? I would be building on a good foundation, but with wood, hay, and straw that is, when it's tested by fire, then not going to survive. And that was what had gone wrong in Corinth, wasn't it? Paul laid a good foundation. The foundation he laid was Jesus Christ. But then these other people then had come in and pushed them off course. And there was this jealousy and this quarreling. It was bad building. That's what had gone on there in Corinth. And what was needed then was not a new foundation. What was needed was the pulling down of the shoddy building that had been built on it. That was what was needed. As with buildings themselves, it's not always immediately clear, is it? You can imagine this. If you see a building and you say, well, there's something wrong with that building, isn't it? It's not immediately clear if it's being built on a false foundation or if it's just a bit of bad building, that the foundation is good enough, but there's been bad building on it. You need an expert to give you advice. No, you need to get a surveyor in, somebody who knows about these things. And so I don't think we should be too quick to jump to conclusions about churches or about individuals, isn't it? You meet people sometimes and you say, oh, yeah, he's a Christian. And then they do something, you think, ooh, hang on, wait a minute. Perhaps they're not a Christian. And sometimes you just scratch your head in the end, you say, you don't know. Now, when you meet somebody like that, it could be one of two problems, couldn't it? Maybe the foundation is all wrong. They've never come to trust in Jesus Christ. And that's why they've got some of these strange beliefs and these strange things that they do. Or it may be that the foundation's okay. But then on that foundation, all sorts of ramshackle jerry-building has taken place, and no wonder their life looks to be a mess. We need to take care not to jump to conclusions. How can we know what is the right thing to build with then? Well, how can we know what is right teaching? Well, it's always going to be in accord with the foundation. It will match. It will fit with the foundation. So we need to keep coming back to Jesus Christ as he's revealed in the Word of God to check whether that teaching fits in with what he says. And so if on the other hand I say to you, well, yes, you've believed in Jesus Christ, and you must go on believing in him. And that means to say then that you must turn from all your sins, and you must keep looking to him every day. Well then, and that is what I'm saying to you tonight, of course. Well then, I'm building, I trust, with gold and silver and costly stones. And I believe then that preaching like that, when it's tested by the fire, I know it's a picture, isn't it? But when that sort of preaching is tested, it will be found sufficiently in the time of the testing by fire. I'm not suggesting that there's never been wood or hay or straw. I'm sure some of the preaching perhaps that has been given out has been of the hay, straw variety. I trust not too much. It is possible, isn't it? Well, that will be burnt up. That's all useless. But if it's gold or silver or costly stones, it will survive. Paul is not teaching some idea of purgatory here. It is not a literal fire. It is a figurative fire. He's saying that the work of every preacher will be tested. God will test it to see if it's going to last. The Corinthians needed to see that they were God's temple and that God's Spirit was living in them. He says to them in verse 17, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. If someone stands here and teaches then what is intended to pull down the people of God, to destroy the people of God, God will judge that person. He will deal with that person. For God's temple is sacred. And you, he says to the believers in Corinth, you are that temple. And that's why anyone who preached to them needed to be very careful indeed. Okay, he might not lose his salvation, but all his apparent work would be burnt up and shown to be nothing if it wasn't an appropriate building on the one foundation laid, Jesus Christ. So three things then. This picture of a foundation. Secondly then, the foundation, Jesus Christ it has to be. Is that the foundation for you? It must be the foundation. And having that foundation laid, well, no other foundation can be laid, can it? We need to be building on that foundation in an appropriate manner. Well, may God help us to do that. Amen.